Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling podcast that counts down things in the world of wrestling that exists on this channel.
Yes.
YouTube.com/Steven Larson. And of course, in audio podcast format, wherever fine podcasts can be found, including, of course, iTunes, where you hit that download or subscribe button. It jacks us up in the ratings.
It does.
And it makes us very happy.
It does.
And we're also available in Android devices through Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio.
But not Spotify.
Not Spotify.
Don't think that's going to happen.
Really?
Not before Mania.
Oh, no. Anyways, yeah, WrestleMania is... When is this going up?
I don't know yet. Either Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Well, it's probably going to be tomorrow. It's probably going to be Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's going to go up then.
Why did you say tomorrow then?
Because WrestleMania is tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. As of them.
Your pronoun referred to WrestleMania, not this video.
Correct.
Okay,
so as of watching or listening to this video, WrestleMania will be tomorrow.
Yes.
Assuming this goes up Saturday or it could be today. In any event, you know, we paid hard-earned money to go check out WrestleMania. We're very excited about it.
Yes.
And therefore, we are entitled to have certain things happen on the show.
That's not how things work.
That is not actually how things work.
No. So we did a predictions video on
Thursday.
That's going up Thursday, where we predicted what we think will happen at WrestleMania.
Right.
These are things that we want to have happen at WrestleMania. In some cases, they will align with our predictions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in many cases here, I can see at least one where no way it'll align with our predictions. They will not.
Well, there's two. That's probably no way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, two.
Yeah, so let's just get right into it. Number
yes, please.
10.
10.
Baron Corbin wins the IC title, the
yes.
Intercontinental title. This is a vital stepping stone.
For a lot of wrestlers.
For a lot of wrestlers.
To launch themselves up
into the upper stratosphere.
Upper main event card scene.
Yes.
Upper card main event scene is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I said this on the predictions episode. Kind of torn on this one. I think there's actually a lot of matches in WrestleMania that I'm kind of torn on, but I could see a case for either of these happening. For one thing, there's going to be a lot of heels winning.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a face heavy show, I don't think. I mean, maybe if Bayley wins, maybe. I mean, can you? I mean, I guess you consider Randy a face. He's probably going to win.
I think so, maybe.
But. So I think this match might, I wonder if the outcome of this might depend on how the other matches go down.
Could be.
Because it's kind of a toss-up. I could see Baron winning at the next pay-per-view or the next SmackDown in a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
My thing about this match is this. I just want a creative match. I want Baron to win, but I'm hoping that this is the match that Dean was hoping they get out of Brock Lesnar last year.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah.
I guess Dean hasn't necessarily been a poor Intercontinental Champion, but much like his world title reign, it's just been unremarkable.
Dean Ambrose is never... It's completely obvious now. Putting the belt on him is completely... He doesn't benefit. The belt doesn't benefit. I mean, he's a high-profile guy to carry the IC
yeah,
title.
Yeah, and he's still really popular with the fans.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he's fine.
But it's obvious that he's in a realm that, like, the belt doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if he has the belt. It doesn't matter if he does have
it. He doesn't add any necessarily prestige to the belt.
Exactly.
And the belt doesn't add any prestige to him.
Exactly. So it's like, if you're not doing something to help to help make the belt something that matters, then should it really be on him? And I'm thinking that maybe Baron... can help continue the recent tradition of having strong Intercontinental Champions.
Yes, and I think it would do a wealth of good for Baron.
Mm-hmm.
He's already established himself as an up-and-coming star on SmackDown. I think getting his hands on the secondary belt
mm-hmm.
on SmackDown would cement his status as a legitimate upper mid-card wrestler.
I think, yeah.
And it'd be
think,
a yeah. really good stepping stone to an eventual main event push.
He would have, in character, he would have, like, legit true, I don't say motivation, but validation in terms of where his place is and where he wants it to be, where it should be.
Yes.
And that's knocking on the door of the main event scene, which is, you know, in a very short period of time where he has legitimately landed himself. You know,
he's, yeah.
They have pushed him and he has responded and he has performed to the level that I think they should really be happy with. And because of that, I think an IC title win at WrestleMania is a great way to really... When did he get called? Did he get called up post-WrestleMania?
Yeah, because he debuted at the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Right. So it's been one solid year on the main roster. And I can't think of a better way to cap off that year than an IC title win. And with the way SmackDown's roster is, again, you know, we've said this a lot before, it all kind of depends on how the next draft is going to shake out. But I could easily see him by the end of the year knocking on that world title door, maybe even before then.
Yeah, and I think if regardless if there's huge changes on SmackDown via the draft, if he can get a hold of the IC title at Mania, hold it for a while, have a really good reign, you know, regardless if other heels come in, I think his spot will be established.
If he treats the IC title the same way that Kevin Owens treated any title he held on to, but mainly the US title.
And you mean, the Intercontinental title?
If
Kevin Owens never had the US title.
Didn't he beat John Cena for it? Or no?
No. The US title was never up for grabs. The one time he beat him, the US, none of the titles were up for grabs.
Oh, okay. The Intercontinental title. Yeah, okay. Never mind. If he treats it the same way Kevin Owens treated the Intercontinental title, it was pre-draft, so I don't remember. Then I think that would do wonders for him, and it would do wonders for the belt. It would really make that belt a true stepping stone to knocking on that main event scene.
Yep.
So I would love to see that. But I mean, to be honest, I just really want a satisfying matchup, and I really want to see both these guys get creative. I think they've been very creative in their feud so far.
Yes.
The forklift.
Yeah.
Introducing forklifts.
Do you think a forklift will play a role?
It has
in this match?
To, right? Forklift has been, it's been like,
it's been
gonna
their
be like
thing.
A, it's going to be like a triple threat match with the forklift.
It should be a forklift on a pole match.
There you go. Or a pole on a forklift match. Number nine. Brock Lesnar does a shooting star press, man. We saw this at WrestleMania
19.
I want to see it again.
Not going to happen.
He almost killed himself last time. He
hurt himself really, really bad.
So hold on a second, though. Back up.
Brock Lesnar doesn't wrestle anywhere close to that style now. I think he has five moves.
These guys, if that, is walking around one of his moves? Well, turning purple one of his moves?
He's got the F5. He's got the German suplex.
Yeah.
He does knees to the abdomen. I'm sure he punches. And then I know he pushes people into the corner.
Yeah, he pushes people in the corner. He likes doing that, too. That's five. But I think being purple should be one of them. Here's my basic... This was my entry. I suggest
this,
and it's on there. And here's why. I think both of these guys want to prove something because of how shit show their last WrestleMania match was.
You think so?
I think the feud has been built to the degree that I think that they're both interested in making this a big... I mean, both these guys want to make money.
Yeah.
I think Lesnar wants to make money. I think Goldberg wants to show his family, look at how cool dad is.
Yeah.
And which is great, which is fine. I want to see something more interesting than Brock Lesnar laughing, smiling, being purple, and suplexing Bill Goldberg. And I have a feeling we're going to get something more than that.
I don't know.
Really?
How long do you think this match is going to last?
3 minutes?
At most. 3 to 5.
Really?
5 minutes at the max.
You think Brock Lesnar is going to beat Goldberg in 3 minutes?
5 minutes max.
Man. You don't think he's going to be overbooked?
No.
No?
No.
Very straightforward.
Who would interfere?
I don't know. New Evolution?
No, I don't think so.
Set up Lesnar versus Samoa Joe?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so.
It's a little too early for that.
I know. I don't think
Lesnar's
so.
Lesnar's not going to have another major title defense till SummerSlam.
I don't think. Really?
He might. If he wins, he'll defend. I said major title defense. He might
defend
the title
against
somebody.
Like a marquee. Well, he's going to be the Universal Champion. He needs to defend it at least once every 2 months.
You would hope so.
What? How many months do we have till now in SummerSlam?
Four.
Oh, four. Okay, yeah.
He'll probably defend in between.
I always feel like Mania and it's more SummerSlam and Royal Rumble are kind of on the opposite ends of the calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like a huge build up to a major marquee match that's going to happen at SummerSlam versus the June pay-per-view for Raw, you know?
Yeah. Look, man, I want them to do something a little bit outside the box. How can they not do something outside the box? You think it's going to be... Okay, you think this is going to be akin to Lesnar-Orton at SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Really?
With Goldberg getting a bit more offense in, but yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be really short.
Man. You think Lesnar's going to kick out of a spear or a jackhammer?
I don't know.
If they, my thing is this also, if they put on like a, they're not going to put on a spectacular match. I understand that.
That's why I think it's going to be short. It's going to be short to.
But if they make it interesting, then there's more money to be made down the road. Goldberg will resign.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I hope it's longer. Yeah. I want to, if it's interesting, I want it to be longer. I want, ideally, it'd be an interesting 10-minute match.
Goldberg's in amazing shape.
He is. But he also hasn't had wrestled a real match in 15 years.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So it depends. I think a lot depends on how much of the ring rust he can lose.
You don't think there's... See, I get the feeling that during Lesnar-Goldberg, there's going to be at least one moment where we're like, I just get that feeling.
Okay.
I think that's going to happen. And I think it's going to be in... And I want it to be in the form of flying Brock Lesnar.
Definitely not going to happen. Speaking of a move that someone hasn't done in 15 years.
He would come crashing the ground so hard.
Yes.
He would come crashing. I still want to see
not
it.
Not going to happen.
I want to see it. Number eight.
Eight.
Alexa Bliss wins. Yeah, we had to reshoot this one because we didn't know what kind of match it was.
Yeah, we initially shot this episode before SmackDown. Then on SmackDown, they said, oh, it's a six-pack challenge. So that kind of rendered what we said previously moot.
I wouldn't have said anything just now because my Pete Dunne shirt is in the washer.
Yeah, that's not Pete Dunne shirt.
This is not Pete Dunne shirt. So yeah, we originally, my hope was that they were going to do something kind of interesting with this Alexa Bliss match. They had previously said, yeah, every available woman is going to be fighting you for that title.
And yeah.
But they didn't say what kind of match it was going to be.
We were both hoping it'd be a gauntlet match.
Yeah,
or something.
I was
like
hoping
that.
It'd be a gauntlet match and Alexa Bliss would then, dispatch of everybody in dramatic fashion, and then maybe Asuka would show up at the very end and either take the title or she wouldn't show up, but Alexa Bliss would have gone through the ringer.
And it would have been a star-making performance for Alexa Bliss.
Absolutely. Yes. I think it would have been amazing. And then they announced it was going to be in the pre-show, and then they announced it was going to be a six-pack challenge, which is probably the most boring way you can do this.
Yeah, and with the match being on the pre-show, pretty much guaranteed Asuka wasn't going to be there.
Right, exactly.
So they weren't going to have her debut on the pre-show.
No.
And the six-pack challenge kind of rendered the whole running through the entire women's division in one match idea moot.
Yeah.
So now we just get a six-pack challenge with Alexa Bliss, and it'll still be great if she wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still want her to win, and I still think that they could put her through the ringer in some fashion, and we can get a really good match out of her and
yeah.
make another big star. But, I do think that this is sort of not as good as it probably could have been. Like, they're really teasing it. Something interesting.
I know.
You know?
And I kind of wonder, you know, there was all those rumors that they were going to bring in.
Like Eve Torres
and Kelly and stuff, and they were going to make this a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they just, you know, maybe some of those people that were rumored to return didn't want to, or they couldn't come to terms, and so they had to adjust course and then kind of settled upon a six-pack challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, they still could have done, even with just six competitors, a gauntlet match.
Can I just say this?
Still a pretty significant gauntlet.
I had never heard of a six-pack challenge before SmackDown Live.
Really?
I had never heard of it
oh, yeah.
in that way.
On the first SmackDown, they had a six-pack challenge for the number one contender to the WWE
no,
title.
No, dude, no, I'm telling you. Before SmackDown.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Before SmackDown Live.
I thought you meant that Tuesday's episode of
no,
SmackDown.
No.
Oh, SmackDown,
before
period.
SmackDown Live came around at post-draft, I had never heard of a six-pack challenge, and now we get them like weekly.
Well,
they
at least
always
monthly.
Do six-pack challenges.
Yeah, they do
on
a lot
SmackDown
of them.
Live.
Yeah,
they've done it. I think there's been at least three since the draft. There was the first episode, and then another one, and then there's this one. Maybe there's been another one. I don't know, but I just feel
I think we're getting confused because it seems like every time they have any sort of tag matches with every team.
Yeah, they do a lot of like weird. But yeah, I've never.
Well, they got
heard.
One less hour.
Like if you had said before SmackDown Live debuted, if you're like, Steve, what do you call a six-man match? Like, it's not a triple threat. It's not a fatal four-way. It's not a fatal five-way. What is six-person? I mean, I don't know.
It makes sense.
Six-man clusterfuck? Six-pack challenge! Ooh!
You know, like six-pack.
Moro going to come back for WrestleMania?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I hope so.
But getting back to Alexa Bliss, yeah, even if it's not a gauntlet match, they could still book this so it's a star-making performance for her.
Nobody likes Alexa Bliss, so they could all just attack her.
And she certainly hasn't been booked strong in the last couple weeks.
No, she has not. So, you know, I'm really hoping. We're both big fans of Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
I think she's a friggin' prime heel.
And actually, I think Naomi's going to win this match.
I think I predicted Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay for me. I win. Number seven.
Seven.
The Undertaker loses, but then ascends into heaven.
So explain this one to me.
Where Shawn Michaels is waiting for him.
Explain this one. Well... Explain this one to me.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He's a dead man, right?
Yes.
Undertaker has always been dead, but he finds his redemption in losing to in putting Roman Reigns over, in doing the ultimate job, and then he says, "I have been redeemed," and then like he turns into redheaded Mark Calloway, and then he's basked in white light, and then he ascends up into the heavens. That's a hell of a lot cooler than what's going to happen, which is he's going to throw his hip out and he's going to be writhing in pain on the mat after eating a spear.
Yeah.
Because that's what's actually going to happen. We're going to see like a broken down old man.
I know.
Like writhing in pain because Roman Reigns really, you know what I mean?
No.
I want to see. What do you mean? You don't know?
Well, you said Roman Reigns and you made a face. I don't know what you mean by that.
Roman Reigns isn't at the point where he can carry an old man to a good match.
Yeah. Okay, I was waiting for you to say something like that. Yeah, no, he's not. Not at all.
Right.
So, I mean, I know I said that Lesnar-Goldberg had the potential to be a fairly short match. I think this does too. I think one of...
entrances aside, obviously.
Yeah, the actual bell-to-bell.
Yeah.
One of our friendos in the Raw recap asked a question whether they would just do something as simple as Reigns comes out, hits the spear, and Undertaker gets the pin. I don't think it's going to be that short.
Okay.
And I'm saying outside of an injury.
Yeah.
Just based on Undertaker's limitations, I'm sure he'll want to put on a 12 to 15 minute match.
That can't happen.
It probably isn't in his best interest. It's not in the best interest of the fans who want to enjoy the show.
Dude, I don't even know if that can happen.
It can if they just stand in front of each other and punch.
If they just do this. He's not doing old school.
No.
I don't want to see him.
I don't know if he, like, Reigns is a, you know, he weighs, what, 260 pounds? Can he pick him up for a tombstone?
No.
Can he pick him up for a last ride?
Oh, man, and he shouldn't be. Yeah, and he has to come crashing down for a tombstone. He has to pick a giant man up for a last ride. Are you kidding me? He can't do any of that stuff.
So we'll get a Hell's Gate spot. For sure.
Yeah.
We'll get a choke slam, which Reigns will kick out of. He'll do another choke slam. We'll see a Superman punch.
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's like the problem.
Into a spear.
Here's kind of the problem with even the build up to this match. See how big of a hit Logan was? People like grizzly old bastards who are on their last leg.
Yeah.
They don't want Undertaker as spiritual demon guy anymore because it's just a facade. Once you saw him in full Undertaker gear, waiting on LeBron James outside the Cavaliers locker room, and then LeBron wouldn't see him, which, by the way, fuck you, LeBron, for that one. It's the Undertaker. You have to make a schedule to see LeBron.
Well, athletes have a very particular pregame schedule they adhere to. Athletes, top-tier athletes, are creatures of habit.
Hey, LeBron, the Undertaker's outside. He's in full gear. Just get a picture with him.
Hey, you know why? For example, people complain about this, baseball players. Like, in between each pitch, they get out of the batter's box and adjust their gloves and all that stuff. Do you know why they do that?
Why?
To clear the head so they can concentrate on that next pitch. Because it's coming out them 100 miles an hour, and that's incredibly hard to try to get the ball going at you that fast.
Yeah.
So you need every bit of your concentration focused on one thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
What's your point?
I can understand why LeBron says, I'm not going to do this right now.
No, that was business stuff right there. That was principle. That was, you can't just throw celebrities at me and expect me to jump.
Maybe it is.
And I totally get that. I'm actually giving LeBron shit as a joke.
Oh, okay.
But my original point was, when you see him in the most pedestrian of settings.
Oh, I understand that, yeah.
In Undertaker gear, it's not cool anymore,
no,
man.
No, it's not.
You know? It's like, I want to see him with his gray hair. It's badass when you see that old guy in a gym.
See, what I don't get is because he was in the locker room in full Undertaker regalia.
Yeah.
And but yet when he actually made his way to the arena to watch the game, he was in his just regular clothes.
Well, yeah, because all those basketball players are all kids.
No, I understand that. But why? What's the point of him even going back to the locker room wearing his kayfabe outfit?
Because, like I just said, they're all kids. They all want to see the Undertaker.
I understand
that,
but if I were to meet the Undertaker, I really wouldn't care. I mean, if it was a situation like that where it's like legitimately awkward.
Oh, you wouldn't be a little bit more marked out if he's completely an Undertaker
character?
No, because
it'd be,
yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't, because it'd be in an awkward situation. Like, he's waiting outside of your door here in his Undertaker outfit
to come in
and shake your hands and talk to us. I'd be like, why are you wearing all this stuff? Just show up wearing sweatpants. That's
well,
fine.
To be fair, it's simply... All it is an overcoat and a hat with a wig in it.
I know, but the thing is, that picture we saw, it looked like he felt so self-conscious about the fact that he was standing there.
I know! if he was like in a Dead Man Inc. hoodie,
yeah,
with like some sunglasses, and his wife is there. Because
at the game, he had a knit cap on, a hoodie, and I'm sure jeans.
I know he looked
just
really cool.
Wear that.
He looked super cool. Like that. Old bastard is what we want to see. Like, I don't get why they just haven't done old. They did old bastard with Lesnar, with him and Lesnar for the Hell in a Cell thing. They did old bastard. Do old bastard again.
Yeah, I'm really surprised they haven't brought the Undertaker's age into this. Maybe it's a sore subject for him or something. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about his physical well-being.
Fuck no, he doesn't. Talk about kayfabe.
But I would think one of Reigns' strongest arguments would be, hey, I mean, look at you. You're an old man.
Yeah.
This is a young man's game.
Yeah, I know.
It's my yard now.
I know. That'd be too good.
I know.
That'd be too good. Here's another thing, though. When I say Undertaker loses a sense of heaven, I do want him to lose at this point. I do want him to lose.
Me too.
Because all that shit that Triple H said that we mentioned on the Dirt Sheet on Tuesday, I think really resonates with me. The idea that Reigns is this heel that's sort of...
Like the unheel heel.
Yeah, exactly. He's like meta heel.
Because like I think when we all heard that he was going to be in this match with Undertaker, our first thought was, okay, he's going to win, get massive heel heat, but they're not going to adjust course with him at all. And they're like, they got to turn him heel to capitalize. They got to turn him heel to capitalize on this heel heat. And what they're doing instead is just continuing on the same course.
Mm-hmm.
The danger in that, the one danger I can think of, is that it could become... like legitimate, real, across the board X-Pac heat, where people just legitimately dislike him.
I see. That's my one point of contention with Triple H's thing is getting booed is not the same thing as getting booed.
Yes,
there's
different boos. Yes, like
I feel bad about calling it X-Pac heat these days, man.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
No,
like
I know.
He's had such a great turnaround.
I know.
So I feel bad about that.
I don't know what else to call it though.
It's totally X-Pac.
Because like we'll go to a show and we'll sing John Cena sucks because it's fun, but we respect the hell out of him.
Oh, for sure.
We don't have beef with Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We realize what he does well, we realize what he needs work on, but by and large, the things that are holding him back are due to creative, not necessarily him.
I think my main problem with it is what you said, but also when you come up on storylines, when one guy's obviously the face, one guy's the heel. Well, if you have Roman Reigns facing off against Kevin Owens, who's a really good heel these days,
yeah,
then the crowd starts rallying behind Kevin Owens, and it just makes shit awkward.
I know.
For the guy who's supposed to be the face at this point.
I know.
They don't know how to handle that shit, you know? Because then people start rooting for the bad guy. And it's like, in a story, yeah, it's always like, okay, for example, I always go back to this, No Country for Old Men. I am terrified of Antoine Chigurh. I respect the fact that he's such a great heel and he's an amazing villain. But if the other guy was such a douchebag, then... I'm going to start rooting for Antoine Chigurh.
Anton.
And so, but you're not supposed to root for that guy. You're not supposed to root for Darth Vader. You're supposed to root for the guys that Darth Vader is trying to kill. You're supposed to be like, oh my God, get away from that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to start rooting for the bad guy who I'm supposed to be rooting against. That makes sense?
No, it does. Totally.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like when Chris Jericho, when he healed up last week, that I was like, okay, I'm loving this. It's great heel heat. You know, I want to see this guy get his comeuppance. I want to see Jericho come
Jericho?
Up. Huh? What'd I say? Owens.
Yes.
I meant Owens.
Yes.
When Owens trashed him, it was not this past week, but the week before.
He ripped up the list, and the crowd was booing him. Yeah.
I was like, man, I really, as a fan, as a guy who's invested in the story, I really want to see Jericho go over. I really want to see the hero come out on top. I respect the shit of what Kevin Owens is doing.
Yes.
But I want to see Jericho come out on top. I want people to run away from Samoa Joe. That's how great of a heel he is.
Yes.
With Roman, if it was Roman Reigns against Samoa Joe, at that point I'm like, man, I kind of want Samoa Joe to kick this guy's ass because he's kind of a doucher. You don't want that kind of heat.
No.
You don't want douchebag heat.
No. Not at all.
Anyways. Number six.
Six.
The new Evolution officially debuts. So
they've hinted at an alliance between Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. We know that Samoa Joe and Triple H have a thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And right before Owens turned on Jericho,
mm-hmm.
we saw a really quick shot backstage of Triple H talking to Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So something is going on between the three of them. It's never been really explained or fleshed out in any sort of serious capacity.
Right.
Just by the commentary team saying, okay, well, there's allegedly some sort of alliance between Joe and Owens, obviously Joe and Triple H. But beyond that one shot, there's been no attempt to create any sort of concrete relationship between Owens and Triple H.
Right.
So at some point, whether it be during the Triple H-Seth Rollins match or the Jericho-Owens match, it would be great if that faction, whatever it is, whether it's New Evolution or something else, made a huge statement, mm-hmm. maybe adding a fourth member to really make an impact at WrestleMania. Yeah, Pete Dunne would be great.
Well, here's how I think it should play out. You get Samoa Joe to interfere on behalf of Kevin Owens in the Jericho match. You get Samoa Joe to interfere on behalf of Triple H in the Seth Rollins match. So the New Evolution kind of congeals a bit at Mania. But then on Raw, you debut Pete Dunne as the fourth member in some sort of spectacular fashion.
Yes.
Maybe you have like a three. Maybe you have Triple H, Samoa Joe, and Kevin Owens in a tag team matchup against, let's say, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and Y2J on Raw. And then Pete Dunne comes in as the fourth
probably
member.
It probably actually be Sami Zayn instead of Finn Balor.
Sami Zayn. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter. And then Pete Dunne comes in as the fourth member.
Yeah.
Why would it be Sami Zayn?
Because Sami Zayn is actually wrestling right now on the main roster.
Wait, you don't think Finn Balor's going to show up on Raw after Mania?
He will, but yeah. I got another scenario for that in play.
Okay. All right. Is that coming up later?
Well, the next entry.
Oh, okay. Number five.
Five.
Yeah, five. Go ahead.
Finn Balor returns.
All right. Well, let's hear your scenario.
So, essentially, we see this New Evolution.
I think you just corrected my fantasy booking.
I had better fantasy booking.
Okay, let's hear it then, buddy.
I'll take two scenarios. First, a scenario where Finn returns to WrestleMania, where we have this New Evolution coalescing, mm-hmm. making themselves known.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Finn come out to help Seth Rollins while he's getting beat down by the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Barring that, you have your scenario where you have this six-man tag match at the main event Raw after Mania. You have Pete Dunne come out to join the New Evolution. Who comes out to even the odds? Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Huge splash.
That's good. Big time.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
But anyways, it seems like I read something where I'll have to try to source it. If Seth Rollins couldn't make Mania.
Oh, yeah, I read that too.
That the backup plan was for Finn Balor to be Triple H's opponent. They've been working house shows together.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like when Finn comes back, he's going to be put in this Owens, Jericho, Samoa Joe, Triple H storyline in mm-hmm. some capacity. So if he's going to return to Mania, have him come back and get involved in that storyline right there.
The one thing I would really, really love about the New Evolution, put Charlotte in it. Have the female, because, and the justification could be, look, the female division is money these days. So I want to make sure that we have our footprint on that, our fingerprint on that too.
Yeah.
So we're bringing in Charlotte. Obviously, she's a flair as well.
Yes.
Throwback to the old Evolution.
Exactly.
Make it a five-man faction.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fantastic. That'd be great. Just run roughshod over Raw. This pay-per-view or the WrestleMania really has, and I think it all goes back to whatever creative sort of compromises that are being made between Triple H and Stephanie and Vince. But this WrestleMania could have the potential to have the New Evolution's fingerprint all over it.
Yeah.
You know, they could be all over this thing in many different respects.
Yes.
Not just like the ones that are obvious in front of us.
Exactly.
So, good stuff. Number four. Sami Zayn wins the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Ulysses Battle Royal.
Yeah, so as we saw on Raw this past week, Sami tried to put himself in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Stephanie said, not so fast. You just can't put yourselves in matches now.
Can't do it.
So he had to face Kevin Owens in a no disqualification match at the end of Raw. He won that match, and now he is in the Battle Royal, I would suspect.
Yeah.
So the way they've been kind of building up the Battle Royal is there's kind of Zayn's gotten TV time, though just now.
There are
Strowman and Big Show.
I see three potential winners here, with the three that you just mentioned, and a good case can be made for all of them. Braun Strowman, they're currently building as the monster, even though he ate a pin against Roman Reigns, which could mean that he's in line for a big win on the Mania stage in the Battle Royal.
It's Big Show's last potentially last WrestleMania.
He's so talked about leaving.
It'd be cool to give him a really good send off.
A good send off.
But in terms of Sammy's storyline of constantly overcoming the odds, especially if he's pitted in this battle royal against several men who are vastly larger than he is.
Yeah.
It'd be a good way to give him something to add to that storyline, as well as give him a much needed huge win.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He'd beat Owens on Raw, but it was with distraction from Jericho.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean,
he would redeem himself against the gimmick of loser.
Losing wrestler.
Right.
Losing wrestler.
Same thing.
No, it's losing
truncated
wrestler.
Version of the loser.
There's various reasons why one could lose, and it's not due to ineptitude.
Bad wrestler.
No, losing wrestler.
Bad wrestler. Yeah, I don't know. I out of the three of those participants, I want to see him win. But here's my main thing. I want to see him go to SmackDown. The AJ Styles, he's going to Raw.
Oh, yes.
He's going to reunite with Club. Give it up.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Chad Too Sweet. Chad Too Bad, is that what his name is? And Tex Ferguson.
Yes.
So in return, I want to see, look, this. It's so plainly obvious where this is headed. Stephanie wants to fire the shit out of Sami Zayn. Why she doesn't simply fire him in the first place, I don't know.
Or trade him.
She seems to freaking hate the guy.
I'm sure there's a market for Sami Zayn on SmackDown.
I think so. I think he's headed to SmackDown. And so I don't know if losing would hasten that or if winning would hasten that. I think they're going to do it when they want to do it, and they can use the win or loss as justification of sending to SmackDown. But I think it's going to happen anyway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I would love to see some Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan interaction.
Yes.
They both seem like such amicable fellows. When we saw them on that Total Bellas episode, when Daniel Bryan was showing off his
strategy against Brock Lesnar,
his animal moves that he was going to use at SummerSlam.
Sami Zayn seemed legitimately
tickled.
Tickled but impressed by the strategy.
Yeah, he was like, oh,
he's like, oh, that's cool. That's like different.
These are good moves.
Yeah.
I like your moves. Yeah.
But they're two students of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think it would be good, especially having Sami Zayn on Talking Smack.
It'd be fantastic.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great. Who wouldn't want that? Number three.
Three.
Bo Dallas joining the Wyatts. This is definitely not going to happen.
Well, not at WrestleMania.
Not
it
at
could
Mania.
Happen.
Yeah,
but it's not going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So Bray Wyatt recently said, we covered it in the last Dirt Sheet, in an interview with Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard, that he feels that Bo Dallas is a vastly underrated and underutilized talent on the WWE roster, and that he would, at some point, like to forge an alliance with his brother.
Absolutely.
So even then, we got to thinking, okay, what if Bo, who was involved in the over-the-top rope challenge on Raw and was in the ring for maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah.
If Bo would somehow forge that alliance with his brother, Bray Wyatt, help him in some capacity at WrestleMania during Bray's match against Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Like maybe Randy enlists the help of former Wyatt family members, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, to form the Orton family. And Bray seems at a loss. He says, no, I have someone to help me too, and it's Bo Wyatt.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I mean, even better it was Bo Wyatt, but he's just simply in his Bo Leave attire still,
like very first one, with the white trunks.
Yeah. He comes out with a big Bo Leave shirt on, and he's like this. If you want to beat Randy Orton,
it's not bad.
Bo Leave.
That's not bad.
But no, that would be horrible.
No, I mean, you're Bo Dallas.
No, I just can't. I'm never going to be able to do that good again. This needs to happen, and I think that would be a fantastic way of doing it, which leads us to number two.
Two.
Bray Wyatt retains that damn world championship.
I mean, he's, by his own admission, imbued with the powers of Satan. How can any mere mortal, Randy Orton, despite the fact that he can use an RK out of nowhere, that shouldn't be competitive.
Unless the RKO is literally heaven sent, unless it is a gift given to him from God on high.
Yeah, well, they better establish that on SmackDown, which hasn't happened yet. We're shooting this on Tuesday before SmackDown.
And maybe he'll have a conversation with God. God. And he has that weird fart look on his face. Tell me, God, how to beat him. And he says, you already have the power. You have the RKO.
Says the power will come out of nowhere. And he gets it. It's like, oh, RKO out of nowhere.
Use it at the Ultimate Thrill Ride.
There you go.
So anyways, look, man, Bray Wyatt,
He has not had the best of luck at WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
So he lost to John Cena in a really well-told story.
Yeah.
Their match. Probably should have won that one.
Yeah, man.
Lost to Undertaker in a pretty boring match.
Oh, man, that match was terrible, man.
It makes sense for him to lose, I guess, although it would make sense for him to win, too.
He spent half their WrestleMania budget that year on, like, Bray and Undertaker's entrances and, like, sound effects and shit. This is too much.
You know what was weird going up to his match against Undertaker is that he kept on saying that he's going to be the new face of fear.
Yeah.
He lost, but yet he was still the new face of fear.
Yeah.
Well. It was sort of like the Shane losing at WrestleMania thing. It's like, we had this idea. We're going to push forward regardless of what happens.
It wasn't a stipulation. It wasn't like, I need this match to be the new face of fear.
No, but
I'm going to win.
No, he was saying that once I beat you, I will be the new face of fear. He was kind of saying that.
Well, I mean, Bray, like a three count doesn't matter. Like, you know,
I understand that.
He took years off the Undertaker's body. It probably is a good enough win.
You know what I mean?
Oh man, no, I know. Like I know what you mean. I know.
They have an idea in their head, and say, regardless of what happens, we're going to push through with it.
Like
Roman Reigns,
Ultimate Warrior took the powers of Hulkamania from Hulk at WrestleMania 6.
Yes,
and then he fumbled them, and then Sergeant Slaughter took them, I think, and then Hulk Hogan got them back from Slaughter.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's correct.
You puke. Where were we? Oh, Bray
retained.
Yeah, this probably is as likely to happen as Brock Lesnar doing the Shooting Star Press.
Well,
if you think about it, I don't think they're going to let Bray keep that belt, dude. They're not. There's no way.
Unless they do a double turn. But I don't know how they're going to do that with Bray saying that he has satanic powers.
I feel like Randy Orton should be used to like get other people over at this point.
I agree.
But like they don't want to do that. Like Vince, I think, just has a big heart for Randy Orton.
Maybe we underestimate Orton's appeal to the fan base.
Oh, I think to a degree. I don't know. I think we both know what his appeal is.
Yeah.
I just think that I wonder if that appeal... Well, I don't know. People love him, though.
But it's not... It's going to feel like the status quo.
No, I know. I know.
Which maybe WWE wants. They just want a kind of the return of safe characters.
It's weird,
that
though.
They can count on.
He felt so transitional before Daniel Bryan took it from Romania because the Daniel Bryan train was so fucking massive.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like he like I feel like almost like Bray is like a transitional champion for Randy Orton.
Yeah,
you know.
They really haven't given Bray a whole lot to.
He's been on Titantron more than he's been.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much since he won the belt.
I know,
apart from that one defense.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe this will just kick things up in their feud. They've been going at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if they kept this feud alive for a little while.
Oh, it could be.
You know? And in the end, maybe it's SummerSlam. Can you imagine if they took this feud all the way to SummerSlam?
It'd be pretty nuts.
It'd be pretty cool, you know? It's like, you took it so far, you get the title on Randy, and then you kick the feud up in intensity a little bit more somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of cool, like, for Randy to then have to figure out, like, a... Like, he barely makes it out of WrestleMania with the title. You know, he barely makes it out alive, but he gets a title.
Yeah.
But then he has to take on, like, an even more heavily fortified Wyatt family.
Yeah.
I'm okay sticking around for that.
In the end, you know, even if Bray doesn't retain, if Orton is to win, I just want something interesting to come of it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And I feel like they dropped the ball a couple times. Like, they had some really, really good setups.
Yes.
And they've just dropped the ball a couple times. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. You're right, though. I just want something interesting. Number one, the Hardys return.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that tweet the other day?
Yep, WWE. Tables will be broken.
Tables will be broken. Incident. Yeah, dude, I want to see the freaking Hardys.
That'd be great.
I know, it'd be fantastic.
They're going to be in Orlando that weekend. WWE's going to be in Orlando that weekend.
WWE.
There are reports from Pro Wrestling Sheet that the WWE has extended a contract offer to the Hardys officially.
Mm-hmm.
So the paperwork is on the table, just waiting for them to sign. Granted, there might be some legal issues in play with Impact regarding the Broken Universe characters. But as you said this before, that if WWE wants to go that route, do the Broken Universe or something inspired by it, they wouldn't have offered contracts unless they knew legally their butts were covered.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Who is the more popular Hardy brother in the WWE?
Is or was?
When they were there, who was more popular?
Jeff.
Yes. Could you foresee, because not every WWE fan, I know there's a lot of delete chance.
Yes.
A lot of fans, like it's a smaller world now. A lot of people know the Broken Hardys.
Yeah.
And it would be a shame for them not to debut the Broken Hardys as the Broken Hardys. Do you see a situation perhaps where like an when they brought in the NWO, and it's like, ooh, the NWO. But then you're looking at Hulk Hogan thinking, wow, it's Hulk Hogan. I wonder if they'd come back as the Broken Hardys, where Matt is obviously the focal point, but fans would be like, that's Jeff Hardy. No, really? You don't think that?
I don't think, Jeff Hardy was as good and as popular as he was never as iconic as, say, Hogan was.
That's true, but people remember all those fucking spots that he did.
No,
and,
I know.
And Matt didn't have nearly the stature in terms of those spots as
I understand,
Jeff did.
But I think quite a bit of time has passed since their last run in WWE, and they've transformed themselves so much.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think that would happen. I think the Broken Universe thing is you know, granted, not all wrestling fans know about it, you know, in detail, mm-hmm. but they all know about it,
mm-hmm.
or a vast majority know about it.
Yeah,
and I just think it is just popular enough that they'll get a decent run out of doing that for a while. I know Jeff Hardy said in an interview that before he retires, he wants to have maybe one more. He said in The Undertaker, but that's not going to happen. A retirement match against The Undertaker. So I think at one point, before he hangs him up, Jeff wants at least one sort of small solo push.
I'm just saying this. I could totally see them showing up like on Raw or SmackDown, wherever they go. They're in the ring. Matt has the microphone. And the crowd starts chanting Jeff.
No.
You don't think so, really?
No, everybody's been chanting Delete.
Oh, man. I don't know, dude. People see him hovering around back there. You got like one of the most iconic, like, high spot performers of all time.
If it's the Raw after Mania, that's like the smartest of marks in that arena.
Yeah,
it's
going
to have 17,000 people all chanting Delete. All
right.
That's what's going to happen.
All right. All right.
Same on SmackDown. You're going to have everybody in that audience. Okay, not everyone. 90% of the audience be chanting Delete.
Yeah.
Guarantee you.
Yeah. You're probably right. You're probably right. I wonder. They got to give Jeff some shine, though.
Oh, they will.
They have to give him some shine.
I mean, but the way the Hardys have kind of done things, yeah, Matt's the
he's sort of the voice.
He is, but it's not like Jeff's not involved.
Oh, no, I know.
They're very much, especially in terms of in the ring, very much a partnership.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I don't think there's any danger of Jeff getting kind of left behind in any way.
I do wonder how the front office views them, though. If they see it the way we see it, if they see it the way you just said it.
I would hope so, because I don't think the Hardys would come back unless that was the scenario.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, they one of the reasons they went, as we heard, they went to Ring of Honor is because they have control over their creative.
Yeah.
And while they're not going to get that fully in WWE, I don't think they would want to go back just to be the Hardy Boys.
Just to be a nostalgia act.
Yeah. They'd want to go and explore other avenues of those characters,
mm-hmm.
you know, with WWE's top tier talent.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the reason to go in the first place. And if they're not going to be given that opportunity, I don't think they would go just for the sake of going.
Yeah, you would think.
Because they can stay in Ring of Honor, put on good matches, do some creative, interesting stuff. And then, you know, in 5 years, or they're like, okay, we want one more run, then you can go back as a nostalgia act.
I think you're right. I'd say this. I would probably more apt to say we don't know where their head is in terms of maybe they're thinking, well, we just want to go back to the WWE because that's the place to be. And we haven't been there, but the fact that they're fighting tooth and nail over this, or they give a shit about what TNA is trying to do and take the Broken shit away.
Yeah.
It is obvious they value that quite a bit.
Yes, very much so.
And for that reason, I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah, I think it's pursuing that avenue or probably nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if WWE said, no, we're not interested in bringing in the Broken Universe, whether it's due to legal issues or just the fact that they don't want it, they don't think it fits in with their product, I don't think they would go. I think they'd be totally fine with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Where they'd be able to do whatever they want for the most part.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Anyway, you guys let us know in the comments what things you want to see at WrestleMania.
Yes.
And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.